Psalm 107 and verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." We do not offer today literal sacrifices for sin. That is all done away with by the one offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as a sacrifice to be offered now for either the sins of the alive or the dead, because Christ has come, Christ has shed his blood, and his blood is a sufficient atonement for the sins of those who believe. The Bible says in the New Testament, Hebrews 10 and verse 12, "But this man," that's Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." The work is finished and the work is complete. We are not to offer literal sacrifices anymore, as they did in Old Testament days. Those sacrifices being typical, those sacrifices picturing the work that Christ would do upon Calvary's cross. However, believers are called upon to offer a sacrifice of a different kind. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 says, "By him," that is by Jesus, "therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Notice this is something that believers are to offer as a sacrifice to God continually, all the time. The sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This week we will celebrate yet again Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a big thing here in the United States. I had only ever heard of it growing up. I had not experienced it until I came to live here. But what we did have in the United Kingdom, certainly in Northern Ireland where I come from, and it was something that was done in many churches, was perhaps something similar, and that is what we call Harvest Thanksgiving. Every year we would have a thanksgiving to God in church for the harvest that had been brought in yet again, for the food on our tables and for the food in our bellies. We would give thanks to the Lord, as well as giving general thanks to God for his provisions to us. The annual observance of Thanksgiving in this country is, of course, rooted in the historic practice of godly people, people that we know as the English Puritans, those who did so much to shape the nation in the days that followed their arrival on these shores. I was interested to read this week a statement by William Law, who was a Puritan preacher. And this is what he said: "Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives alms or who is most eminent for temperance, chastity, or justice. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it." Thanksgiving. Sir Walter Scott, another famous Englishman, said, "Ingratitude comprehends every vice. And William Shakespeare, when I'm quoting great Englishmen, said that ingratitude was the marble-hearted friend, or the marble-hearted fiend. Thanksgiving. The practice of giving thanks is not just rooted, however, in Puritan practice, it's rooted in the Bible. Thanksgiving is important to Christian people. When I'm thinking of reading sermons, I read another sermon this past week by Matthew Henry. It was a Thanksgiving sermon, one that he preached on a verse in Psalm 65, verse 11, "Thou crownest the year with thy goodness." And here's what he said about this feast. "Let the feast of Thanksgiving be kept to the honour of that God who is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, both the spring and centre of all our glories. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him must the vow of thanksgiving be performed for his mercies to the land of our nativity." And then he said, "God's goodness must be recognized and acknowledged. Whatever has been or is our honor, our joy, our hope, comes from God's hand, and he must have the praise for it. We must take notice not only of his wisdom and power in effecting things great and admirable in themselves, but his goodness and mercy in doing that which is happy and advantageous for us, and make that the theme of all our songs. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Psalm 136, verse 1. Finally, he said, "Let us cast all the crowns of the blessings of the year at his feet. By our humble, grateful acknowledgement of his infinite wisdom, power, and mercy, let our closets and families witness to our constant pious adorations of the divine greatness and devout acknowledgements of the divine goodness to us and to our land, that every day may be with us a thanksgiving day, and we may live a life of praise. Those who thus honour God, no doubt he will yet further honour. May the goodness and mercy of God, so lavishly bestowed upon us as individuals and as a nation, not only lead us to proclaim his praise orally, but to show forth our gratitude in lives surrendered to him who is the giver of every good and perfect gift." Thanksgiving. The psalmist, I will remind you, says in Psalm 107 and verse 22 of believers, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Today I want to point out some things about the giving of thanks. Things that we ought to remember at all seasons, as well as at the season of thanksgiving. And they're very simple thoughts. Number one, thanksgiving is something that is proper. If you look at the Psalms, again, Psalm 92 verse 1 puts it like this: "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." And as one old preacher said, if it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, then it's a bad thing not to give thanks unto the Lord. It must be an evil thing. And that is certainly something that is prevalent in our day. We live in an age, I believe, generally speaking, of unthankfulness. And it is a mark of apostasy, I would have you to note, and the scripture makes that clear, when there is a general spirit of unthankfulness and ungratefulness abroad. It says in the scripture of some that they neither were thankful. Neither were they thankful. Yet the scripture commands us. It is an injunction of God, and we find it in a number of places. Paul speaks of it in Colossians in the chapter 3. It is an injunction that we be thankful. Listen to Colossians 3 verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He goes on to say in verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We are to do all that we do with thanksgiving. We shouldn't put a bite of food down our throats without thanking God for it. And yet we witness it all the time. Children, young people, older people, people who ought to know better, a plate of food set down in front of them and they just start snarfing away. They put it down as if they're never going to see another bite. Never stop to give the Lord thanks. Yet the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I remember in school, and I'm talking about when I was real little, what you call grade school, we called it primary school. When we went for school dinners, and by the way, you couldn't always be as thankful perhaps as you should have been for school dinners in those days, but there it was food provided. Before we ever ate our food, all the children in the school, we bowed our heads and we sang grace. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. You wouldn't get away with that in schools today, would you? Wouldn't be allowed to do such a thing. Although, they still do it in the United Kingdom. For some reason, search me. You're allowed to have a public act of worship in schools in good old liberal United Kingdom. It's amazing. Thanksgiving. It's the right thing to do. Apart from anything else, thanksgiving is proper, and not just at the Thanksgiving season when you've got that big turkey in front of you. Thanksgiving is proper. We should give thanks to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught this. We recall that portion in Luke chapter 17, where the Lord was in a certain village and there met him 10 men that were lepers. And the Bible says they stood afar off, Luke 17 verse 12, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, 10%, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, he didn't care who heard him, he didn't care who saw him, with a loud voice, he glorified God. He didn't, you know, sidle up to the Lord Jesus and whisper in his ear, by the way, thank you for that. No, he was willing to give public testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ with a loud voice. Glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And they said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. 9 out of 10. Didn't bother to thank the Lord for his goodness to them. Unthankfulness is a particular trait of the ungodly. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, we have confirmation of what I just said about an apostate age being marked by unthankfulness. It says that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's certainly true today. Men are lovers of themselves. Covetous. That's certainly true. That's why we've got this abomination built over here on the old steel site in Bethlehem. Because people are covetous. They're covetous. They want money that doesn't belong to them, that everybody else put into the pot. It's a bit like some of the ideas that are going abroad now in our nation for the promotion of socialism. You know what socialism is? It's taking from people who have worked for what they got and give it to people who don't bother working for it. That's what socialism is. The politics of greed. And every casino is a testament to the fact that men are covetous. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That's certainly true, isn't it? But look at this. Unthankful. Unthankful. You know, the attitude of many people today is, I'm getting what's coming to me. They're not thankful. They just think, the world owes me a living. It's a trait of an ungodly age. An ungrateful spirit is the mark of a wicked person. But you contrast what the Bible says in Psalm 107, which we've just read, in the first two verses, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The believer worships God in the giving of thanks. And there are so many, many scriptures that confirm that. The old 100th is a psalm that I like to sing. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell, come ye before him and rejoice. That psalm says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. There it is again. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. The fruit of our lips. And will call upon the name of the Lord. It is proper, I say, to give thanks. And it's proper because it is commanded. The Lord has commanded us to be thankful. And be ye thankful. Psalm 50 verse 14 says this, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You and I cannot really be worshipping God unless we come before him with a spirit of thanksgiving. The psalmist over and over and over again speaks about this subject. Psalm 95 verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 105 and verse 1, there you have it again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Give thanks unto the Lord. It is necessary that we come before God with that spirit in our public worship as well as our private worship. Thanksgiving is a necessary part of prayer. You can't pray properly unless you come before God with a spirit of thanksgiving. Again, if I might quote from Colossians, this time from chapter 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. thanksgiving, the giving of thanks. When Paul was describing prayer to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he spoke of prayer under four headings: supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Do you thank the Lord in prayer? Because this is something which is implicit in prayer. It's something that is involved in our praise. In Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, it says, and this is speaking of those who are filled with the Spirit. You know, people have all sorts of weird ideas about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. There are places, no doubt, this morning where to be filled with the Spirit to folks is to sound like turkeys at Thanksgiving. It's not worship. I'm sorry, it's not worship. That's not worship. That's the exercise of the flesh. It has got nothing whatsoever to do with the New Testament gift of languages that were given to people who did not previously learn them in order that they might preach the gospel. Here's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's encouraging for those who can't hold a tune. It doesn't say singing and making melody with your voice. It says in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of being filled with the Spirit, is offering thanksgiving unto the Lord. Notice what the apostle sets forth as a proper use of our tongues in contrast to the speech of the ungodly. Go back in Ephesians chapter 5 to verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Thanksgiving. It's so important. It's proper. It's the right thing to do, to give thanks unto the Lord. Thanksgiving, then, is not only a proper thing. Thanksgiving ought to be a particular thing. And what I mean by that is we ought to be giving thanks for particular mercies bestowed by the Lord. We ought to thank God for precise and particular blessings. But what are we to thank the Lord for? Why are we to be thankful? Well, we are to be thankful for His person. In the text, in Psalm 107 and verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for, because He is good." In other words, we're to thank God for who He is. Do you ever do that? It's all very well thanking the Lord for what He has done, thanking the Lord for what He gives to us and what He has given to us and what He will yet give to us. But how about thanking the Lord for who He is? We sing that hymn, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder, Thy mighty power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to Thee, how great Thou art." How great is God? Think about who God is. The psalmist does that over and over again. He speaks about who the Lord is, His person. Look at Psalm 95, for instance. And speaking about thanksgiving in verse 2, he says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." For, verse 3, because the Lord, Jehovah is the word there, is a great God and a great King above all gods. We praise Him because He is a great God. We thank Him for that. Psalm 97, verse 12. "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Give thanks when you think about his holiness, how holy he is. Oh, there is none holy as the Lord. The psalmist is thanking God, and he's exhorting thanksgiving because of the Lord's person. Go on to Psalm 106 in the first two verses. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Because he's good. For his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? We give thanks for who the Lord is. You'll notice the order. We thank God for God himself, and then we thank God for his goodness and for his wonderful works. Psalm 107 does that. We've already read verse 1. We have to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Then it says, for his mercy endureth forever. And verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So we thank God for who he is, and then we thank him for what he has done. I hope you fellows that are married don't just love your wife for the things that she does for you. I hope you love her for who she is. And you ladies, can't leave you out. I hope that you love your husband if you're married. Not for the things that he does, but for who he is. And it ought to be like that with the Lord. Do we thank the Lord for who he is? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Thanksgiving should be particular. Thanking God for his person, but also thanking God for his provision. He has given us all the benefits of this life. The Bible talks about blessing the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. And what a great description that is. And there are many like descriptions in Scripture. Again, if I might just restrict myself to the Psalms. In Psalm 145, if we had time to read it all, there are praises being offered unto the Lord for his works. He says, I will speak of the glorious honour of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. It says in verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And as you go right through that portion, you see the Lord's goodness to us, even in common grace. The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. People ought to be thankful for the Lord's provision. Psalm 147, by the way, is another psalm that speaks of similar things. It talks about the Lord's goodness, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry, and so on. The goodness of the Lord. In Psalm 103, this is the psalmist's great theme. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And what are those benefits? You'll see that he mentions the spiritual mercies first. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You say, well, I know somebody who was a Christian and they died of a terminal illness. Their diseases are all healed. Their diseases are all healed. Because they've gone to be with Christ, which is far better. Sometimes in this life, the Lord is pleased to heal our physical diseases. We thank him for that. But more than that, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. It'd be a terrible thing to have a healthy body but an unhealthy soul. To have a body that is in the full bloom of health but to be covered with sin and iniquity and to be under the condemnation and wrath of a holy God who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Thank God for one who cleanses us from all of our sins by his blood. We can thank him for that. We praise him for all the spiritual mercies and benefits. In Psalm 119, the psalmist is praising the Lord again for these things. In verse 62, he actually speaks about getting up in the middle of the night to thank God. Psalm 119, 62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. We ought to thank the Lord for the spiritual mercies and benefits that he has provided for us. We give thanks for his word. We thank him for the Bible. We thank him for answers to prayer. Most of all, we thank him for Christ. The psalmist spoke much about thanking God. The New Testament is also full of thanksgivings unto the Lord and exhortations to thanksgiving. And in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, we have one of the greatest things for which we could thank God. In fact, it is the greatest thing, and that is Christ himself. Paul has just been talking about finances. He's been talking about money. He's been talking about giving and about honesty in our handling of the Lord's money. But he finishes up this way, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The greatest of all gifts, even the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not thank God particularly for our salvation? There's a little chorus that I grew up singing as a child. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Can you thank the Lord today for his salvation? He's worthy of our praise. And I tell you that those who are truly saved for all of God's eternity, they're going to be thanking God for his salvation. That's what our great occupation will be in glory, is constantly thanking the Lord for his mercy in this respect. Romans 6 and verse 17 says, but God be thanked. But God be thanked that ye were the servants, it means the bond slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. God be thanked. Oh, we thank God for his provision. And may we not also particularly thank God for his people? There are no people like the Lord's people. With all their faults, and they've got plenty, and so have I, there are no people like God's people. There are no friends like true Christian friends. And you will notice how the apostle gives thanks for believers of the various congregations to whom he wrote. He thanks the Lord for the fellowship of the saints. Let me give you a few examples. In Romans, the chapter 1 and verse number 8, Paul says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He thanks God for them. And he does that again when he writes to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 15 and 16, and I quote, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Do you thank the Lord for your fellow believers? Do you thank the Lord for those that worship alongside you? Do you thank the Lord for those that you can have real fellowship with in the gospel? Surely this is enough to keep us going for a long time in thanksgiving. How thankful we ought to be. Paul was. When he wrote to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 3, he began, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." It's maybe not everybody you can say that about. But Paul could say that about the Philippians. He said, "Every time I think of you folks, I thank God." Every time. What a testimony. Thanksgiving. He thanked God for that constant bond of fellowship. He said it is, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." He thanks God for the people of God. He did that again when he wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." He thanked God for the workings of his word in the hearts of those that heard him. And I thank God for that. I thank God for what he does through his own precious word. And to him be the glory for that. If you're blessed, I'm blessed. It's an encouragement to my heart when you're blessed, when God speaks to your heart. You may not always express it, but I thank God for it, because I know the Lord blesses his word to people, because he blesses his word to me. He blesses his word to my own heart. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul thanked the Lord for the Thessalonians again. He says, "But we are bound," we have to, "we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel." Paul thanked God for the people of God. Again, to give another example of that, in the last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 28 and verse 15, it says, "And from thence when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." When he saw those familiar faces of those believers, it really encouraged his heart and he thanked the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these brethren. Thank God for thoughtful believers who encourage us. These things and much more we are to give thanks for. I'm sure that you can particularize yourself the blessings for which you ought to thank God. The hymn says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." But thanksgiving then, I have to say, is not only something that's proper, something that ought to be particular, but it's also something, thanksgiving, that should be perpetual. We've started with this thought, and I finish with this thought. Thanksgiving is not just for thanksgiving. We should be thankful every day. Every day is Thanksgiving Day for the Christian, or it should be. It should be. We ought to be thankful even in rough times and in tough times. Earlier in our service, we sang the hymn, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." That hymn was written by Martin Rinkert. It was written way back in the 16th century in Germany. Martin Rinkert wrote that hymn in a time of great tragedy in his country. Some of the most severe human hardships imaginable took place during what was known as the 30 Years' War in Germany. And out of that there came that great hymn, it's often called the National Te Deum of Germany, because it has been sung on many occasions of national rejoicing. Martin Rinkert was born into a poor family. He was ordained to the ministry of the Lutheran Church, and at the age of 31 he became pastor in his native town of Eilenburg. He arrived in that place just when the dreadful bloodshed of that war was starting. Eilenburg was a walled city, and it became a refuge for many political and military fugitives and refugees. Throughout the war, throughout those 30 years actually, there were several waves of deadly disease and famine that swept that city as various armies marched through the town, leaving death and destruction in their wake. The Rinkert home was a refuge for many afflicted victims, and Martin Rinkert often had difficulty even providing food and clothing for his own family, but he would help others. The plague of 1637 was especially severe at its height. Martin Rinkert was the only minister remaining in that city, and he conducted as many as 40 to 50 funeral services daily. And yet in the midst of that, he wrote that hymn, and among other things in it, as we sang earlier, he said, "O may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son, and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore." That was a man who knew something of what it was to give thanks unto the Lord. Even in tough times, I say, we must give thanks. Psalm 34, verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Giving of thanks ought to be constant on this earth. We read earlier Colossians 3 verse 15, and if you were to look at the Greek language, it's actually in the present imperative. So it means, and ever be thankful. And ever be thankful, always, in every circumstance, be thankful. Somebody said, this is the secret of the ever happy Christian life. Thankfulness. And you know, when you stop to think about it, that is the constant occupation of those who are in glory. Sometimes people have a rather sentimental view of heaven. And we all know of the idea of people floating about on clouds with harps and other people dropping grapes into their mouths. Well, that's nonsense. You know what heaven is all about? The Bible tells us not too much about heaven, but what it does tell us is quite interesting and quite enlightening. Revelation chapter 7, it speaks of those who are in glory, and it says, "All the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." There is this constant praising of God that is taking place. Revelation 11 verse 17 confirms that. When they're worshipping God, they say, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. We give thee thanks, O Lord God." Are we thankful? Our prayers ought to be well seasoned with the salt of thanksgiving. A true story is told of a father and mother who lost three children in 1 week because of diphtheria. Only the little 3-year-old girl escaped the disease. On Easter Sunday morning, the father, the mother, and the remaining three-year-old child were in Sunday school. The father was the superintendent of the Sunday school. He led the worship that day in the Sunday school and read the Easter message from the Bible without a break in his voice. There were many in the Sunday school, parents included, who were weeping. But the faces of the father and mother remained serene and calm. Men and women asked each other as they left the church, how do they do that? How could they do that? And one little 15-year-old boy walking home with his father said, Father, I guess the superintendent and his wife really believe all of it, you know, the whole Easter story. The father said, of course, son, all Christians believe it. Ah, the boy said, but not as they believe it. They don't believe it the way they believe it. Because they believe in the resurrection. They believe that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And they can say, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving. May it be at this season accompanied with what one preacher called thanks living. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen.